Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Each year, we do a series called God First. It happens every year. The God First series typically is in the lead up to the beginning of the financial year. That's when we start our 3-month tithe challenge. This year, it's going to begin on July 5th, going into the brand new financial year. We're setting ourselves up for the goodness of God to be poured out upon us for the year that lies ahead. This year, as we come up to the end of this financial year, the beginning of a new financial year, more than any question I've been asked at this point in time over the last month is, are we going to do the God First series again this year? The reason so many people are asking me about the God First series is because more than any other series, this is a series that brings about personal breakthrough in individuals' lives. And I got to tell you, I get excited about the God First series every year because it really is an opportunity to come back and center our thinking around God. So the question is, now, in amongst all the drought, the bushfires, the floods, the COVID, and now a recession. Obviously, I understand why people are asking, are we going to do the God First series? Because, Shane, are you aware of everything that's going on? But you know what? Every time I get asked, are we going to do the God First series? My answer has been the same. Absolutely, we are. We are going to do the God First series. And the reason is because I really do believe in the God First series, we have an annual moment. We have a seasonal opportunity to inspect the fruit of our lives. I have an opportunity to inspect the fruit of my life. George and I, we have an opportunity to inspect the fruit of our lives and ask ourselves the question, are we still putting God first? Are first things still having first place in our life? Obviously, the first is the Lord's. The first goes to God. The first of our day, the first of our love, the first of our finance, the first of our endeavors, it all belongs to the Lord. Now, the God First series, while it may be labeled as a stewardship series, I want you to know and I want you to understand that from my point of view, this series isn't merely about tithe and offerings. Yes, tithe and offerings play an important part in all of our lives and an important part in the kingdom of God. But this series, that's not what it's all about. Anywhere near as much it's about keeping our heads and our hearts in heavenly spaces while walking out our faith with our feet firmly planted here on planet Earth. You know, I think sometimes the tension that we have to live as believers is unique. We want to live in a space where our head and our heart is in the things of heaven and our feet and our actions are being outworked here on planet Earth. We live in this space and we live in this tension. And now added into the mix of it all, we have this one word. The one word is recession. Enough to make us all wonder, what does the future hold for each of us? What does the future hold for any of us? But friends, in the midst of all the discussion and in the midst of all this talk, I want to remind you that your help comes from the Lord. That's right, let's just go there again. I want to remind every enjoyer, your help comes from the Lord. You don't need to fear as those who don't know Jesus are fearing. You don't need to be concerned like your neighbors who don't know the Lord are concerned. I want to encourage you, if you know the Lord, that you do not need to fear. It's like the scripture says that those who hope in the Lord will not be put to shame. So the nightly news is telling us to prepare ourselves for the looming recession. We all understand why things are tight. We get it. COVID has knocked the world upside down. It has knocked it up the side of the head. This recession, from my point of view, and I am not an economist, but this recession, from my point of view, is all about what's happening with COVID. It has come and it too will pass. There's no doubt about that. It's all going to pass. We're going to come out the other side of it. I don't doubt it for a moment. But all the news and all the discussion, if you listen to it, is all about the looming recession. But Jesus is saying, and that's what I want to encourage you with today, what is Jesus saying? I understand what the world is saying. I understand what Koshy is saying. But what is Jesus saying? In John chapter 4, verse 35, this is what the Lord says. Do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. They are ripe for harvest. This is what the Lord says. He's saying, don't be too concerned and don't be saying it's all the time out there somewhere. No, you need to look differently. You need to look with eyes of faith. Understand this, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, Jesus refers to himself. Now, I want you to hear this, church. You got to hear this, because if you can hear it, not just with your ears, but in your spirit realm, if you can get a revelation about this, I tell you the truth, your life is going to be turned upside down, which is actually the right way up. Now, listen to this here. Jesus refers to himself in Matthew 9, verse 38, as the Lord of the harvest. He gathers where he hasn't scattered seed, and he reaps where he hasn't sown. He calls things that are not as though they were. I love that. And he has authority over every harvest everywhere. Now, I know our pastors and our evangelists at this point in time, in all of our locations, they're starting to get their Shazang on. They're starting to get some, and the reason is because they understand that this scripture is in reality about the harvest, meaning lost souls coming into Christ, coming into the kingdom of God. And every believer, I think, should get excited about the possibility and the opportunity and the reality of lost people coming back to God. But nevertheless, as much as this scripture is actually about lost souls coming back to God, can I encourage you today that the point remains true in regards to every harvest pertaining to your life. Every harvest pertaining to your life. The Lord is the Lord of the harvest. He either is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, or he's not. As for me and my house, we believe he is. And because he is the Lord of all, he is the Lord of every harvest in my life. I have dreams for people coming to Christ. He is the Lord of that harvest. I have dreams for Cambodia. He is the Lord of that harvest. I have dreams for Osaka and Japan. He is the Lord of that harvest. I have dreams for the USA. I have dreams for Australia. And I have other dreams in regards to other harvest fields for people's coming to Christ. No doubt about that. But I also have dreams for my family. I have dreams for my children and my children's children. I have dreams for you. I have dreams for your family. I have dreams for your children. As in, I don't know how much you're dreaming at the moment, but I think I'm dreaming more for you than maybe you are for yourself. I'm believing for your businesses. I'm believing for your careers. I'm believing for everything that is near and dear to your heart that you want to see a harvest come in for. The Lord is the Lord of your harvest. He always has been, and he always will be. Now, I am well aware that as I speak today, I am speaking to people that are already converted. And you say, how do you know that? What are you saying? How do I know? How do I know that you know that the Lord is the Lord of the harvest? I know because of this reason. Since the lockdown has started, our finances as a church, which come in weekly through tithes and offerings coming into each location as you do what you do, they have continued to remain strong. And so they have remained strong because the Enjoy family have stayed faithful in returning to God that which is his in the tithe and beyond that with some very generous offerings. And so to all of you, good job that are continuing to return to God what is his in the tithe. Good for you. For those of you that are continuing to bring offerings to the house of the Lord, good for you. We celebrate you. Praise God. And because of this, we know that you have faith in God because you're stepping it out every day. Now, as we go here, listen to what I'm about to say now. As we go here, as much as we celebrate all that we're able to do because of the faithfulness of God's people, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I need to remind myself. And I'm thinking, if I need to remind myself, maybe, just maybe, we all need to remind ourselves, that God is way more faithful to us than we are to him. Because sometimes I think in all of our doing, we think we're being faithful and our thinking goes to that place. But I want to encourage you today that God is actually way more faithful to us than we are to him. What do I mean by that? Well, what do I mean by that? Can I be honest? And you're thinking, we hope you can be honest. Good point. I'm going to be honest. I want to be honest with you. I know you're counting on me being honest with you in every regard, and I want to be honest because sometimes I get a little bit lost in my thinking. You probably don't. You've probably never had that experience in your life. But me, I get lost in my experience, and sometimes my mind wanders into places and I get a little confused and I get a little bit mixed up. But sometimes when I think about what Georgie and I have given over the years, not just in our tithing, because that's in our obedience to God, but also in our offerings, sometimes I can get really excited, maybe too excited. And you're like, too excited? Yes, maybe sometimes I get too excited. Maybe sometimes I get too excited about the part that I'm playing in regards to what God is doing. Now, I do think there's a place for our enthusiasm and our excitement about the fact that we are doing, and then we're able to see what God is doing through our doing. I'm all for that. But friends, I say maybe too excited, because as much as what we've done has made a huge difference in many, many people's lives, and what you have done, I want to encourage you today, when you bring your tithe in, when you bring your offerings in, I want you to understand that you are making a huge difference in people's lives. That is true. No doubt about it. When I think about George and I, we have made a huge difference in people's lives. No doubt about it. But I'm convinced that whatever I have done beyond me fails into insignificance compared to what God has done in me through this process. All right, are you hearing this? Are you getting this? We bring our tithes and offerings. Yes, God releases that then to do what God wants to do. No doubt about that. We make a huge difference in people's lives. But friends, I want to encourage you every week when you bring your tithes, every week when you bring your offering, as much as God uses what you bring to do what He's going to do out there, God is actually doing an incredible work in you. In you. When I bring my tithes and my offerings, God is doing an incredible work in me. It begins in here. I'm convinced that the work that is done out there, it's really insignificant to what God has been doing within me over this period of time. We think that we bring our tithes and offerings each week, and therefore God is going to work out there. That's right. But I want to encourage you, when you bring your tithes and offering in each week, God is actually going to work in here. God is wanting to do a work in you as you bring your tithes and as you bring your offering. Now, answer me this. Just answer me this. The goal of our faith. All right. The goal of our faith. Let me ask you a question. What is the goal of your faith? What is the goal of my faith? Some might say the goal of our faith is to raise disciples, to plant churches, to establish facilities, to take the gospel to the ends of the world. And I would say, amen, they are goals, but I don't know that that's necessarily the goal of our faith. I think they are more faith goals. I think the goal of our faith, it needs to come back to really what it's really all about. The goal of my faith is to become like Christ. It's that simple. The goal of my faith is to become like Christ. And as I'm becoming like Christ, I have faith goals, which are the things that we've just spoken about. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49 says, thinking about this, thinking about the goal of our faith is to become like Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49. Just as we are now like Adam, the man of the earth, so we will someday be like Christ, the man from heaven. All right. So now we're like Adam, the man of the earth, but one day we're going to be like Christ, who is the man from heaven. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, it says, instead, we will hold to the truth in love, becoming more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. We're becoming, praise God, we're becoming more and more in every way like Christ. This is the goal of our faith. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, and as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. Praise God for that. We're work in progress, and our love is growing more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we are like Christ here in this world. I don't know about you, but I can get excited about that. As in, because we are becoming more and more like Christ. We can face God confidently because God is at work in us. God is at work in us, and we are becoming more and more like Christ. And so it is that every time that I return my tithe to the Lord, every time I bring a sacrificial offering to my God, I am becoming more and more like Jesus. I exchange the old for the new, part of me for part of God. The first Adam is dying and the second Adam is coming to life. Praise God. Tithing is an act of obedience. That's why we bring our tithe. We are becoming more like Christ. Christ was obedient even to the point of death. We want to become more and more like Jesus, and tithing is an act of obedience. I know. Now, this one thing, let's just say this. One of the reasons I know, because there's all sorts of discussion out there about whether tithing is something that New Testament believers ought to be participating in or not. Let me say this to you. If it wasn't an issue to the devil, he wouldn't go after it. But you and I both know that he goes after it. There's all sorts of people teaching against tithing. And typically, they are not people on the front foot changing the world. But friends, I want to encourage you today. Tithing is an issue of obedience. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 says, now, just so we're clear, I know you've heard this verse before. I know we use it every year. And in this series, we're only going to use it today. But the reality is this. We're going to go into this passage and I want to highlight the two key components that we see in it. Malachi 3 from verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. That's the point right there, right? So bring the tithes in so there's food so people can come and eat and partake and taste and see that the Lord is good. If you do, says the Lord Almighty, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Let me prove it to you. You can almost hear the heart of God. Just let me bless you. Just do what I'm asking you to do. Try it. Let me prove it to you. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not shrivel before they are ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord Almighty. Now, so often when we look at this passage, isn't it true? You know it's true, I know it's true. We look at the promise and not the command. We look at the promise, what's in it for me, not the command. The command is a point of obedience. The promise is the blessing of God. So often when we look at this passage, everyone wants to go straight to the promise and not the command. But friends, can I say to you today that blessing follows obedience. Blessing follows obedience. The first Adam, he walked in disobedience, which brought about sin and curse upon all of humanity. The second Adam, he walked in obedience, praise God for that, which in turn redeemed us from the power of the curse, positioning us now in Christ that we might walk in obedience to him and access all the promises and blessings of God. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, it says here, and now, just as you accept Christ, Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to live in obedience to him. Accepting Jesus as Lord is one thing, but now that we've accepted him as Lord, we need to continue our walk of faith in obedience to him. Now, obedience, I wish I could tell you it was an easy lesson, but friends, I want to say to you today, it's not. And this is why so many people, even though they claim to be of Christ, they don't live lives that glorify God. Because obedience is a difficult lesson to learn. It is really difficult and one that is surrounded by suffering. Think about it. Hebrews chapter 5, reading from verse 7. While Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one, the only one, who could deliver him from death. See, Jesus was in the same boat. He had his feet and his actions on earth, but he had his head and his heart in heaven, connected to God. Praise God for that. All right, so we see here, so even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. I don't know about you, I read this passage, whenever I read this passage in this verse, it always hits me in the side of the head because Jesus learned obedience. He wasn't just obedient. No, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Jesus learned obedience from the things he suffered. And through that obedience and suffering, we now have access, praise God, to the throne of grace. You and I have access to the throne of grace because Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. As I'm getting excited about what I've done and about the things that are happening out there, I'm actually missing the point. When it comes to our tithes and offering, brothers and sisters, Enjoy Church family, can I encourage you with your tithes and offering? Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. We are doing incredible works. We're doing incredible things now all around the world. But I want to encourage you, it goes way beyond that. If you're only looking to what God is doing out there through your tithes and offering, you're actually missing the point. Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered, and so are we. I don't know about you, in my early years of Christianity, tithing, it was like every time I bought my tithe, I had to die to myself. I had to die to myself. Every week when I would write the check, back in the old days when you would write checks, it was like when I, you know, I used to bring, what about cash? Those days are gone. When I used to bring cash, it was like, when I used to bring cash, I used to squeeze those notes so hard that we could open them up and the queen would have tears in her eyes. You know what I'm saying? It was like, I didn't want to let it go, because every time I brought my cash, every time I bought a check, every time I contributed to the house of God, part of me was dying. Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. We learn obedience through the things that we suffer also. And so what I'm saying is, as brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to understand this, that as you bring your tithes and you bring your offering to the house of God, it's not just about what's happening out there. It's that we might become like Jesus. I don't know about you. I want to be like my Jesus. I want to be like Christ. I want him to do such a powerful work in me. And every week when I bring my tithe, every week when I bring my offerings, every week God is at work. You know what's really interesting? For so many people, and I've talked to many people within the life of our church and other churches, and we get to a place where we're now comfortable bringing our tithe, and God says, all right, man, with the offering now, we're going to take it to another level. And it's like, I don't know, I'm not going to take it to another level, but we know it's God, and we know it's like, and it's like, but Lord, I've got these other plans, I've got these other things, but we learn obedience through our suffering. We become more like Christ as we let it go, as we let it go. When it comes to letting go, Jesus let it all go. He humbled himself and he became a servant to all of humanity. He stepped out of heaven. He came to earth. He let it all go. There was nothing that he was prepared to hang on to, because why? Because he knew in letting it go, he was pleasing the Father. And I know, and you know, and we know that every week when we do this, whether it be in our vision offerings, or whether it be in our global offerings, or whatever the case may be, whether it be in our tithe or just general offerings, every week when we let it go, we're becoming more like Christ. Friends, I want to encourage you today. The tithe and the offering, yes, it's honoring to God, and yes, it's an act of obedience, but in it all and through it all, I promise you, you are pleasing the Lord in a way, and you are growing in a way that if you do not tithe and you do not bring offerings, you will never know about. But God is wanting you to die to yourself, that he may live in you. And as he lives in you, I tell you the truth, not only will you live, but you're going to lead others to a place of living also. Now, the thing I love is, as Jesus died, he humbled himself, he suffered, and through that, because of his suffering, he opened the door of grace to us. We were able to come before the throne of grace. Yes, in our tithes and offerings, we are opening thrones of grace all over the world that people might come into the knowledge of Christ. But I promise you this, in the process, you are coming into a knowledge of Christ that you cannot experience or learn in any other way. It is the most personal thing. It is the most intimate thing. And you will know your God like you are unable to know your God in any other way. Because all of a sudden now I'm dying to myself and my trust is in the Lord. I pray this day, and I pray every day for you, as we bring our tithes and offerings to the house of God, I pray that you would continue to be made into the image of Jesus, the one and only Son of God. I pray that as you continue to grow in Christ, you would gain an ongoing and growing revelation of these realities. I promise you, there is so much to be learnt, so much to be gained, so much growing for all of us. I think about the season that we're in, and here I am now, 55 years of age, and I feel like in many ways I'm just going back to school and having to learn so much about so many things all over again that the kingdom of God might advance. But you know one thing I'm really, really glad about? I'm really, really glad I understand this here. I'm really, really glad that I understand that as I bring my offerings to the Lord, that it pleases him, and as I bring my tithe, to return my tithe to God, I'm being made more into the image of Christ. I'm not hanging on to anything that doesn't belong to me. I want to give it all that Jesus might be glorified. And I pray that you would too. Father, I pray for all my brothers and sisters today. that we would have an ongoing and growing revelation of just who you are and who you want to be in our life. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that our trust would be in you. I pray, Lord God, that we would lay down our life, that we would suffer, Lord God, that we might be obedient to your word. And as we are obedient to your word, I pray, Lord God, Lord, I pray, let the blessing follow obedience. Let the blessing follow obedience. I pray it over every house, over every individual. Lord, I know, Lord God, this is a personal revelation that the enemy wants to steal away from the church and steal away from believers. But I know, and you know, and we know together, Lord God, Lord, that the word is full of truth, and when we lay hold of it, Lord God, it'll transform us and the generations to come over us. So Lord, this day, Lord God, over every brother and over every sister, Lord, that is already committed to tithing, and those who are standing up right now and saying, I've heard this, I know what I need to do, I need to step into this so I might become more like Jesus, that I might die to myself, that I might release to the Lord and return to the Lord that which is his. Lord, I pray, Lord God, for each and every one of us, Lord God, for all of the enjoy world, Lord God, Lord, every person that's planted in a house that is committed to this, Lord God, I pray, Almighty God, let them grow into your image, Lord God. Let the shackles fall from them now, Lord God. Let them rise up in faith and be the men and women of God that you are calling them to be. So, Lord, I speak, Lord God, your goodness and your power and your wonder over their life. I pray, Lord God, let the blessing follow their obedience in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said together, amen and amen and amen. God bless you all.